The Gemara Masechet Shabbos Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis teaches us the sugya of Misasik. Misasik, as we're going to discuss, is a very different situation than Shogeg. Whereas the halacha is that by Shogeg, if somebody does an aver b'Shogeg, if somebody's Mechal Shabbos b'Shogeg, he's chayav karmi chattis. By Misasik, as is very clear in our Gemara, a Misasik is potter from a carbon. What is the difference between Shogeg and Misasik? Shogeg means that a person did not realizes what he's doing, but did not know that what he is doing is an aveira. And therefore, for example, if one doesn't know that today is Shabbos, or one doesn't know that what he's doing is a malacha that may not be done on Shabbos, that is in the category of a shagig, which there's a chiyuv karbon chatos for. Whereas a misasik, as is clear in our Gemara, is an individual who is not aware of what he's doing. His entire act lacks the proper kavon. The Mefarshim explain that what is the difference between a Misasik and a Shogeg. And as we're learning, and as is very clear, a Shogeg is Chayiv Chatas. Clearly a Shogeg is considered a Baal Aveira. A Misasik is not as clear is if he's considered a Baal Aveira. But certainly he's less of a Baal Aveira than a Misasik, than a Shogeg, because as we're saying, a shogeg is chayav karmi chatas, a misasik is not. The simplest way of differentiating between a shogeg and a misasik is by a shogeg, as we just explained, the person didn't realize that today is Shabbos. The person didn't know that what he's doing is us to be done in Shabbos. So had he learned what he should have learned, then he wouldn't have made these mistakes. A misasik, his learning that today is Shabbos, his learning Hilcha Shabbos would not have prevented him from doing the Aveira. Another way of understanding the difference between a Misasik and a Shogeg: a Misasik doesn't intend to do what he is doing. As the Gemara here on Daf Ayin Beis on the Beis begins, Niskaven Lag Bias Atolish V'Chotach Es Mechubar is a situation that everybody agrees is considered a misasik. This person had no intention to do anything wrong. Whereas a shogeg, it's an outside, it's an external mistake that prevents him from, that causes him to make the mistake. He's very well aware of what he's doing. There's no mistake in the actual act of what he's doing. The mistake that he's doing is in the that he's lacking knowledge. Lacking knowledge is not a mistake in your actual act. Whereas here, he has an act that is considered something that is, where here's here, by Misasik, he doesn't have intention to do a prohibited act at all. Furthermore, the Mefarshim interestingly asked, we know that in our Sugis here in Masechta Shabbos, we've learned many times the famous machloikis of Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda. If Dovashen Meskavin is Osur or Mutter. And the Mefarshim discuss that certainly according to the Manda Omer that says that Dovashen Meskavin is Mutter, why do we have to have a special limud to teach us that a dover sherim skavin is mutter? Isn't it obvious from the case of Misasik? On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that a dover sherim skavin is osur, and even though Rabbi Yehuda argues by dover sherim skavin, he doesn't argue regarding the halacha of Misasik. He agrees that a Misasik is mutter. And now the question is, if every davar she'en miskaven is also considered a misasek, so how could Yehuda say that davar she'en miskaven is chayiv, and a misasek would be, and a misasek would be potter? There are other questions around the same issue. If davar she'en miskaven and misasek travel together, how could it be that a davar she'en miskaven, that how could the halachas be different? So the simple teretz is that a davar she'en miskaven doesn't have the concept of psik reisha. Every misasek, by definition, is a psik reisha. In other words, even though we've learned that there's a machloikus, as we just said, of Shimon Rabbi Yehuda, of a davar she'en miskaven is chayiv a potter, everybody agrees that a psik reisha is chayiv. By misasek, even if you're a psik reisha, you'll still be potter. So we see that misasek and psik reisha, a misasek, a davar she'en miskaven are not the same. The problem with this pshat, point out the achroinim, is that when the halacha is that a davar she'en miskaven is chayiv by a psik reisha, there's a big machloikas achroinim. Are you chayiv by davar she'en miskaven by a psik reisha only if you're aware of that psik reisha coming? Or even if the psik reisha you're not aware of, you're chayiv? And if we're going to learn that you're not aware of the psik reisha coming, then it will remain a davar she'en miskaven, and according to Rav Shimon it's potter, and according to Rav Yehuda it still remains in the category of a davar she'en miskaven, our question is not answered. Because let's think about it. We're saying the difference between a davar she'en miskaven and a misasek is that by davar she'en miskaven a psik reisha is chayiv, and by misasek a psik reisha is potter. Why indeed is a psik reisha potter by a misasek? The reason a psik reisha is potter by a misasek, it could just like he didn't realize what he was doing, he also doesn't realize the repercussions of what he's doing. So if by davar she'en miskaven will say the same thing, that only when you know what's going to happen is going to happen, is it not considered a davar she'en miskaven. But if you're not aware of what's going to happen, it remains potter. So back to where we started. What's the difference between a davar she'en miskaven and a psik reisha? So the Sura Achroidim give a different answer. By a davar she'en miskaven, your act only causes another act. In other words, what's the classical case of a davar she'en miskaven? The classical case of davar she'en miskaven is somebody is pulling a chair on the floor and it makes furrows in the hole, in the floor. And it was davar she'en miskaven. He didn't intend to make furrows in the ground. So it's not your actual act which is usur. It's the repercussion. It's what comes out of your act which is the melacha. However, by misasik, going back to our Gemara that we began our shiur with, of someone in the skaven like bias atolish for chotach as mechuber. In that situation, the actual melacha is the iser, not the extension, not what comes out from what I did is aser, but actually what I did is the melacha. The only issue is that it's a misasik. And therefore, we cannot compare the situation of misasek to the situation of a davar she'en miskaven. There's a very fundamental machloikis, Rashi and Tosfos, in understanding misasek. And this machloikis permeates the entire sugya. Rashi, it's not as clear, point out the achroinim in the Rashi in our sugya. It's clearer in Rashi's, and I could give the Maror Mekoymus for these Rashi's. Rashi in Masechta Shavuos, Daf Yotes Am Aleph, Divrei Hamaskel Prat. Rashi in Masechta Krisis, Daf Yotes Am Beis, Divrei Maskel Afilu. Rashi learns that in order for a situation to be considered a misasik, two conditions have to be met. The melacha that you did or you do is not on the object that you meant to do it with, but with a different object. Like I just read, our Gemara began. Niskaven lagbia tolish v'chotach asamachubur. You intended to do something with one article and you ended doing it with another article. And you intended to do something which is mutter. Lagbia asatolish. Picking something up is mutter on Shabbos. Without both of those conditions, Rashi holds that it's not considered a situation of masasik. Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos says that even if your intention is on the same item that you did the melacha with, it still would remain a masasik. And as I said, this machloikis of Rashi and Tosfos affects many different aspects of us, affects many different aspects of our sugya. To go to the Gemara on Daf Ayin Gimel Amar Aleph, the Gemara said that we have in our Gemara a machloikis of Abaye V'Rava, how far we extend the concept of Misasik. Rava has a broader definition of Misasik than Abaye. So the Gemara said, Niskaven Lizrak Shtayim, Vizorak Arba, Rava Amma Potter, Abaye Amma Chayiv. And here, again, given the machloikis of Rashi and Tosfos, there'll be different interpretations of what exactly happened there and why it ought to be considered, at least according to Rava, a situation of Misasik. According to Rashi, there were two mistakes. He made a mistake in the act that he wanted to do. He only wanted to throw two amos, which is permissible to be done in Shabbos. And he ended up throwing four amos. And he also made a mistake in the actual item, because he thought that he had in mind to throw this area, which this area is only two amos distance, and he ended up throwing it a different area which has a distance of four amos. But according to Tosfos, that you don't have to learn that pshat. Tosfos will hold is that he meant, according to Tosfos, all you have to do is make a mistake where it's not two different areas that he thought about. It's the same area. He thought that this was a distance of two amos, but actually this area only had a distance of four amos. Similarly, in the next case that's mentioned in that Gemara, of Kesava Rishus HaYochid, V'Nintza Rishus HaRabim, according to Rashi, you have to explain that he intended to throw it in one direction, which in that direction it was a Rishus HaYochid, and unintentionally it went in the other direction, which is a Rishus HaRabim. But according to Rashi, if he would have intended to throw it to a certain spot, but he meant, and he thought that that spot was Rosh HaYochid, and actually it was Rosh HaRabim, according to Rashi, that would be a Shoyig. According to Tosfos, that would still be a situation, a Masasim. However, the Achroinim do point out, the Sefer Rosh Yosef from the Prima Gadim, does point out that there is one situation which seems to be a case of one item that even Rashi would agree is considered a situation of Misasik. And that is the case that the Gemara mentions as well on, here on Daf Ayin Gimel Amar Aleph, where the Ksover Roiku Uboloi. So Rashi says that he thought that it was saliva, and he intended to swallow it, and at the end, it turned out to be chalif. Says the Rosh Yosef, that even according to Rashi, that holds that the Torah Misasik is only when there's a different item. I had intention to do it with one item, and it ended up to being with a different item. Rashi will agree that Roik, with thinking that this saliva in my mouth is saliva, and it ends up being chalif. And even Rashi will agree that it's a misasik, even though it's only one object in question. Because by Roik, since he didn't have an intent to eat at all, he only had intent to swallow, and they ended up eating, that is enough. Eating and swallowing. I intended to swallow my saliva. Instead of swallowing my saliva, I ate the chalif, even if it was liquefied chalif. The fact that there was an achila and a blia is the equal, says the Rosh Yosef to Rashi, as two different objects. And that's why Rashi will agree, as the Gemara so indicates, that this would be a case of Masasik. If we look in the Gemara, in Masechta Krisis, the Gemara actually quotes two psukim, how we know that a Masasik is potter. One is from the pasuk that's mentioned in the parasha of the Parashas Chatos, Ashechota Ba, and that's how Rabbi Eliezer in Masechta Krisis, Daf Yotel, teaches us the din of Masasik, and Shmuel learns the din of Masasik from Melachas Mechsheres. So according to Tosfos, there's really no machlokes, because as Tosfos is teaching us, the Torah Masasik applies both to a situation where we have two objects and both to a situation where we have one object, and therefore we need two psukim. Melechs Machsheves teaches us when we have only one object, there's a din of Masasik, and Bar teaches us when we have two objects. But point out all the Rishonim, that pshat only makes sense according to Tosfos, who, as we just explained, indeed holds the Torah Masasik both by one object and by two objects. But according to Rashi, who says the Torah Masasik applies only by one object, so what does Rashi do with the pasuk that Shmuel quotes of Meleches Machsheves? What will be done with that pasuk? And there are a number of approaches in the Rishonim and Achronim how to understand this, which affects pshat in the sugya and also affects halacha l'maisa. One pshat that the Mefarshim suggest is there's a very big chiddush for Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that even though we're learning in our sugyas that Masasik is potter, Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that doesn't mean that if somebody does an Aveira as a Masasik that he didn't do an Aveira. All it means, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, is that you don't get a punishment. If that's the case, we can now understand what is the purpose of the pasuk of Meleches Machsheves. What the pasuk of Meleches Machsheves is teaching us is that even though B'chol HaTorah Kulo, the halacha is that Masasik is not considered an Aveira, but, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, you will get a punishment, you still did an Aveira when you did something as a Masasik. The pasuk of Meleches Machsheves teaches us that by Shabbos, it's not considered an Aveira at all if you did it in the form of a Masasik. And therefore, the Paiskim point out that according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, there are a number of halach lemaises that we need to understand of Masasik. What would be the halacha, as the Paiskim, if somebody on Shabbos is walking out wearing a talis cotton, that doesn't have kosher tzitzis? So as we discussed when we learned the previous parak b'ma'isha, wearing non-kosher tzitzis on Shabbos is certainly considered a masri. But here we have an individual who walked out on Shabbos wearing these non-kosher tzitzis, not aware that the tzitzis that he's wearing are not kosher. So he's considered a misasik. Are we obligated to tell him, you know, you're wearing something that you're not supposed to be wearing on Shabbos? If we learn that Masasik is not considered an Aveira, so then we don't have to tell him anything. But if, as Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, Masasik is considered an Aveira, so then we have an obligation to tell him what you're doing is wrong. Maybe there isn't considered a shogeg. Maybe there wouldn't even be a chiyuv chatas, but it's an aveira. But ask the mefarshim on Rabbi Akiva Eigub that the halacha, the Rama paskins, is that if a kohen is sleeping in a home, this is Rama and Yerideya, Simon, Shin Ayin Beis, Sif Aleph, if a kohen is sleeping in a home, and unfortunately somebody in that house passes away, we're obligated to wake up the kohen and tell him to leave the house because there's a dead body in the home and you're a kohen. But the question is, if misasik is considered not an aveira, this is a question of those that disagree with Rabbi Akiva Eigub, if misasik is not considered that you did an aveira, so this kohen is certainly a misasik. He went to sleep. He didn't do anything wrong in going to sleep in this home, and being in this home. So why would we be obligated to wake him and tell him to leave the house? Isn't it a raya that even a misasi is considered an aveira, and therefore we have to wake him up to get him out of the house where we have the mace here? So the Sefer Chelkas Yoyev says that that remark is not necessarily a raya to the Kiveira. He says a very fundamental vort in understanding misasik. He says the din of misasik only applies by aveiros that involve an action. So now the Torah was mechadish, as we are learning in our sugya, that it's only considered misasik when it's only considered that I did an aveira if I didn't do it in the form of misasik. But if the way I did the aveira is in the form of misasik, it's not considered that I did an aveira. But, says the Chelkas Yaakov, there are two types of aveiros. There are active aveiros and there are passive aveiros. So when we're talking about an active aveira, so that's where the Torah was mechadish, the din of misasik. But a kohen not being in the house where there is a mace is not an active aveira, it's a passive aveira. The Torah of misasik wasn't said there. And therefore, since the Ptor of Misasik wasn't said there, the halacha is that a kohen has to be told to leave this house where there is a mason. Then there's another. But then, the last piece of Kaibet Shurim from Rabbi Chanan Vassman in Masechta Pesachim, he asks a gewaldige kasha on Rabbi Akiva Eigub. According to Rabbi Akiva Eigub, if somebody is a Misasik, Rabbi Akiva Eiger says it's still considered that he did an aveira. He just doesn't get the punishment. Asks Rabbi Chanan, the halacha is, and it seems that whatever will be the halacha regarding doing an aveira, the same should be regarding doing a mitzvah. Asks Rabbi Chanan, the halacha is, if somebody is just blowing, he's standing in front of a shofar on Rosh Hashanah, and he's blowing, and the sound of a shofar comes out, the halacha is he wasn't yoytze the mitzvah shofar, because he's a misasik. Ask Rabbi Chanan, if according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, a misasik is considered your act, what's the raya that it's considered your act? Because you did this act, so it should go the other way as well. If misasik, you considered a bal aveira when you did an aveira, so then by a mitzvah, ask Rabbi Chanan, according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, it should be considered that you fulfilled the mitzvah. Yet the Gemara says that if somebody blew the shofar that way, it's not considered that it fulfilled mitzvah shofar. If misasik is considered, according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, your act, you should have fulfilled, it should be considered that you fulfilled the mitzvah. So, again, our question was, what will Rashi say we need the second pasuk of Meleches Machsheves for? So according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, we explain that the pasuk is coming to teach us that even though normally Misasik is considered an Aveira, not by Shabbos. What will those that argue Rabbi Akiva Eiger hold? That they hold the Misasik is never considered an Aveira. So I don't need a special pasuk to teach us that Shabbos is any different. So there's another teretz that the Achronim suggest. Our Gemara says that there's an exception to the rule, and that there is a case that Misasik is considered an Aveira. Hamisasik b'chalovim v'rayis is considered an Aveira, says the Gemara Shekein Nena, because he had pleasure from the Aveira that he did. And there's a very big machlokes with Shoinim and Achroinim. How do you understand why, when you have Hanor from the Aveira that you did, is Misasik considered an Aveira? One shot that the Mefarshim suggest is that there are two types of Averis. There are Averis that the Avera is the act, and the Averis that the Avera is the benefit. And when we're learning in our Gemara that there's a Ptur of Misasik, there's an exemption of Misasik. The exemption of Misasik was only said by Averis which are in the category of Averis that the Aveira is the act. But by Averis were the Averis the Hanor, there the Torah never gave the exemption of Misasik. If that's the case, we don't need a special pasuk to teach us that if somebody was Mechal Shabbos and he had Hanor, that the Torah Misasik still applies. Because certainly Shabbos is in the category of Aveira from which you... Shabbos is certainly in the category of Aveira where the act is the Isser, not the Hanor is the Isser. But there's another explanation of why Shekein Nen is different. And that is an explanation that Rav Chaim, Baruch Be'er quotes Rav Chaim saying. Why is indeed a Misasik Potter? So Rav Chaim explained, because in order for an act to be considered a Mais Aveira, there has to be a combination of the Guf and the Neshama. The Guf actually doing the Aveira, and the Neshama intending to do an Aveira. An Aveira that isn't made up of the Guf and the Neshama is not considered an Aveira. But, says Reb Chaim, and other Achronim say this as well, when you have Hanor, so what has the Hanor when you do an Aveira? The Neshama. So that creates a combination of the guf and the shama. So now it's very gishmak. By meleches machshavas, now we understand why we need a pasuk of meleches machshavas. Because when somebody did an aveira on Shabbos with mechal Shabbos, and he had hanor, so now there's a combination of the guf doing the aveira, and in the shama, maybe there was no intent to do an aveira, as we've been learning, he was a misasik. But at the end of the day, his neshama participated in the Aveira by the fact that he had Hanor from the Aveira. And yet, the halacha is, the pasuk of Meleches Machshavas teaches us that this is a special rule, that this Aveira by Shabbos, Misasik, is a total exemption, and even though he had Hanor, it will not be considered an act of an Aveira. Another way of understanding this Gemara is by explaining, the Macheshes explains, and other, I think the Avni Nezer as well, explain why is it different if you have Hanor that it's no longer considered a Misasik. So they explain, when you have an Aveira from which there is a Hanor, that makes your Aveira a more significant Aveira. And since it makes the Aveira a more significant Aveira, that's why, even though it was a misasik, yichayiv. So now it's also very gishmak. Why would be the halacha if on Shabbos you did an aveira in the form of misasik, but you had hanor from that aveira? So you ought to be chayiv, because as these achronim explain, whenever there's benefit from the aveira, that makes the aveira into a higher class of aveira, so to speak. That even though it's misasik, yichayiv. Tells us the pasuk of Meleches Machshavas that Shabbos is an exception to that rule, and even though you had Hanor from the Aveira, the halacha is you'll be potter because if you did it by Misasik, because the Torah said a special exemption by Shabbos of Meleches Machshavas.